beyond it with hope. Not the kind of vague hope that John Lennon expressed in that song. You know, let's hope it's a good one. Let's hope war will end. Let's hope things will be better. Well, of course, we all want these things. But in the New Testament, hope is something much more certain. It's an eager, confident expectation of what God's going to do for us. It's more like looking forward. You know, we're looking forward to all that God's going to do. Now, we're starting a little series on hope, and for a couple of weeks we'll be looking at this passage in Peter. And the Holy Spirit led Peter, one of the early Christian leaders, to write this letter to Christians who were suffering, who were being persecuted and killed for their faith. And they were living in what is now modern-day Turkey, scattered all over the place, living under this cloud of persecution. But he tells them, and us, that as God's children, no matter what's going on around us, we always have this hope. We can have a certain expectation of what God's going to do. It's not vague, wishful thinking that everything will turn out in the end, all right. It's a living hope. It's something that's real, that's active in our lives here and now. Now, I'm not claiming to have any word of knowledge about this, but I think a lot of us might be feeling a bit gloomy at the minute. Certainly, to be honest, it seems like a season for me of doing funeral after funeral after funeral. And I feel like I'm an Anglican, you know? Might as well have been a vicar. I'd much rather be doing weddings or baptisms or dedications. But, you know, we can look beyond that gloom today. I want to really encourage you as we go into 2023, and as the new headlines don't promise any radical change, we know there's a big change coming. We have a living hope, and we can know the reality of it here and now. So I want us to think about how we can lock on to this living hope. Well, the first thing that we need to do is to praise God. Verse 3 says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy he is giving us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead." I love the way that Peter starts this off by praising God for who he is and what he's done. He doesn't say, "Now guys, I want you to hope," and then give us a detailed explanation of it. He says, "Hey everyone, praise God who's given us such a great hope through Jesus." And remember, the people that he first wrote this to would have been weighed down by suffering and discouragement and maybe fear. But praise puts things into perspective. It gets our focus on God. So if you're feeling a bit gloomy and pessimistic, the first thing I'd encourage you to do is to praise God for who he is. Praise him for the hope that you have in Christ, the sure and certain hope because he's been raised from the dead. And it's not about singing a happy song to cheer ourselves up. It's praising God for who he is. Yeah, and that makes such a difference. Just the other morning, I was going for a walk in the morning, feeling slightly gloomy, and these verses were in my mind, and so I thought, let's take out this verse. And I started to praise God for all that he'd done, and it just completely changed my outlook. Now, Peter spells out why we praise God. He tells us what God has given us, a living hope. And that means it's lived out in everyday life, and it's active and growing. It's earth in the here and now, and it grows as we anticipate the future and move towards it. And also, he's told us why God has given us it. It's given in his great mercy. Notice that, great mercy. Now, mercy is a bit like grace. It means that God has reached out and helped us even though we don't deserve it. And Peter knew full well what that was like. Remember, this is the disciple who denied the Lord. Even though Jesus had foretold it and warned him, he said, "You will deny me 3 times by the time the cock was crowed." And when he was questioned and Jesus was being arrested and tried, someone said, "I know you, you're with Jesus, you're one of his disciples." He said, "No, I didn't know him, I didn't know him." And the third time, he said, "I didn't know him," with swear words as well. But then when Jesus rose from the dead, what did he do? He sought after Peter and said, "Peter, you're still in the game. You're still one of my disciples. You're still one of God's children." So please don't sit there thinking, "You know, I'm not a good enough Christian to have this hope. You know, I've strayed away from the Lord. I've let the Lord down." You have that hope because of God's mercy, not because of who you are or what you've done. Then Peter tells us how we've entered into that home, which we praise God for. It's new birth into a living home. Becoming a Christian isn't about joining a church or being religious. It's about coming to Jesus and receiving new life. As Jesus said, you must be born again. And when we trust in Jesus, when we trust in him for forgiveness, a miracle takes place. God, through the person of the Holy Spirit, gives us new life and a new nature. We are born again, and we're born again into a new future. It seems a bit strange at the moment talking about the king. I still slip in to think about the queen, saying all these, the queen's doing this, the queen's speech. But now, of course, we know this year we start a year with a king. And the queen has passed away, the queen and has gone to glory. But, you know, Charles was born to be king. I know he had quite a long way. He waited a lot longer than he expected, but he was born to be king. He was born into that family. It was always anticipated. Well, in the same way, you know, we are born into that hope. We are born into that future that Peter's going to spell out for us in a moment. And he tells us why we can be certain about that. Because this new birth, which gives us living hope, comes through Jesus' resurrection. That's what seals it. Because Jesus has risen, death has been conquered. Our sins have been forgiven. Because he dealt with them on the cross, and the resurrection is an announcement. We are forgiven through him. He's achieved what he set out to do. And our future is secured because Jesus was the beginning of that new creation. We'll have resurrection bodies like him. We'll have that future in heaven because he, as the perfect man and the Son of God, has conquered death. And of course, here and now, we're told in Colossians 3 verse 1 that we've been raised with Christ. We've been raised to a new level, to a new life. So, to lock onto this hope, we need to praise God. Praise God and then take stock of what God has given to us. And we're told that this is an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you. Now, we think of inheritance as something we get when someone dies, and someone leaves us some money, or someone leaves us a house, or someone leaves us some books. I'm going to be very careful, you know, who I leave my records to. Taken care of. They're not to be sold to Oxfam. It's a very valuable record. Don't let anyone send them off to the charity shop. But that's not the meaning of the word here. It's actually a theme from the Old Testament. Now, after God rescued his people from slavery into Egypt, he promised them a new home, a new land, Canaan. And there were 12 tribes in Israel, and each tribe had what was called an inheritance, a share in the land. And that's the picture that Peter's using here. He's saying, actually, God has promised us a share in the land. Not in a geographical place, but a share in the heavenly kingdom. A share in the future. A new home. And unlike anything we know in this world or this life, it won't perish. That means it doesn't decay or get worn out with time. It can't spoil. And the word Peter uses is one that describes something that's spoiled by sin. You know, when sin spoils something, it can't God's presence. That's the word that he's using there. You know, it's like you're having a really lovely day out, everything's going well, and then some horrible person who you don't know comes along and does something to avoid it. You know, maybe someone comes in front of your car and shouts at you, or just something unpleasant. I mean, I went to see one of my favourite groups, Pavement. Anyone heard of Pavement? So I applaud you. But I saw them in Leeds, and I was really enjoying it, just, you know, maybe they're playing Gold Sounds, one of the favourite tracks. And then this guy just sort of pushed in front of me. And it just kind of spoiled the whole thing, you know, people doing horrible things. That's the kind of meaning of the word he uses. You know, in heaven, nothing can be spoiled by sin. You know, not all Christians are perfect like you and I, you know? Yeah, so, and sometimes things in churches can get spoiled. But Peter says, look, anticipate the heavenly kingdom. Nothing can get spoiled there. And also it won't fade. It won't lose its beauty or glory. Listen, no one, nothing can take your hope away. It will not lose its value. It will not fade away. It's secure in Jesus. So, to look onto this hope, we need to praise God, take stock of what he's given to us, and then have faith. Verse 5 tells us that through faith we are shielded by God's power until the coming of salvation that's ready to be revealed at the last time. Do you ever wonder whether you can keep going? You know, you get up in the morning and think, well, can I get through this day? Can I keep going as a Christian? This is so difficult. Life is so hard. Well, you know, if this verse tells you, you can. Because it's not down to you, it's down to God. You know, it's often that point when we run out of our own strength and we depend on God, everything changes. I did life-saving classes when I was at school. Don't ask me to save your life now. I can't save your life. To save your life is what I mean. But we did like life saving, that was in, you know, with swimming. So I got my gold medal for life saving. But one of the things they told us is always wait a bit, you know, because when you first come up to try and save someone, they're kind of thrashing about and they've got all the energy and they can pull you down. You've actually got to let them use up all their energy so they're completely dependent on you. And often that's the way that God works. You know, we thrash around and we're tired and weary and then we start depending on God and actually that's when it all changes. And Peter tells us what God does. He says that God shields us by his power. And he uses a military word that means he keeps us safe, he watches us, he guards us. And this is going to go on until our salvation is ready to be revealed. Now you might look at that and think, well, hang on, I thought I was saved when I trusted in Jesus. He rescued me from sin. He gave me new life. You were. But salvation is something that continues as you live out the Christian life. And it's completed when you enter into God's presence and all that he has for you in the future. I used to go cycling down South Seafront when I lived down there. It was lovely in the summer to do that on a summer's day. I used to cycle past the D-Day Museum. And for weeks and weeks there was something covered in sort of a big tarpaulin there. Weeks after week I went past that thinking, I wonder what that was. I wonder what it is. And then one day I came past and it obviously had been taken off and unveiled. It was a statue. I think it was a statue of Montgomery. Did you ever do a D-Day? Maybe someone anyway. Someone's thought it could. It was a statue of some famous general or something like that. But suddenly it was all unveiled, and that's the reason in here. Peter's saying it. At the end, you see it in its fullness, and God's protecting you, and he'll protect you right until that point when it's all complete and you enter into his presence. And all of this isn't through what we do, but it's through faith in Christ. That's the channel for God's blessing. Trusting God for what he's done in Christ. And the inference is actually that God works that faith in us. You know, you might think, oh, my faith is so weak. Remember, Jesus said, if you have faith as small as a grain of mustard seed, you'll enter the kingdom. Small as a grain of mustard seed. Or faith like little children. Just a simple trust in God. Now, if you're struggling, just look to him and say, Lord, I don't know what's going on, but I trust in you. I trust in you. I know that you protect me. Affirm that faith. So how do we lock onto this living hope? Well, we praise God, we take stock, we have faith, and then finally, we live it out. And I want to bring some practical things. How do we live this faith, this hope out? Well, before anything else, we need to be sure that we have been born again, born anew. Peter says that God has given us new birth into a living hope, new birth. I want to challenge you this morning. Do you know that new birth? It's not about coming to church. That's great to see you here. It's not about reading the Bible. That's a good thing. It's not even about praying. It's about trusting in Jesus and knowing the new life we have through him. Nothing else. And then we need to set our sights on the future that God has promised us. Maybe you're really looking forward to a wonderful holiday. Or you're dreaming of a new car or a dream house. Well, it's not wrong to want either of those things, but they mustn't be our focus. All of these things fade away. But we're told that our inheritance, our future, will never fade away. And you know, Jesus said, don't store up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and vermin destroy, and thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourself treasures in heaven. where moth and vermin do not destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal. Let's make sure that our eyes are fixed on the future and we hold on loosely to what we have here and now. You know, we may have it today, we may not have it tomorrow, but we'll always have that heavenly treasure. And the treasure is a picture. I mean, I don't necessarily mean we'll go to heaven and we'll get handed out that heavenly gold coin, but it's a picture of that glorious, wonderful, amazing future that God has given us in Christ. And we need to grow in this hope. Remember, it's a living. You know, it's something that's put into practice in day-to-day life, and as we do so, it grows. You don't need to soak it up, but you do need to grow in it, because it's all part and parcel of our relationship with God. And sometimes we're too focused on what we want from God here and now, rather than what He wants to do in our lives. You know, we grow in this hope. I say, Lord, what are you going to do? I'm in this difficult situation. How do I live out your hope in this situation? And don't depend on feelings. Hope is based on facts, not feelings. You know, I'll be honest, I don't always feel hopeful. You know, I don't like these dark mornings. You know, you wake up. I woke up yesterday morning, opened the curtains, shut them again, actually. Though I might as well keep the curtains shut because it's still just as dark as it is in here out there. I hate these dark mornings. I don't get up, you know, good morning. And, you know, my dad was a terrible morning person, you know, because he'd come in with a cup and go, morning, morning, and he'd like, shut up, you know. No, I said it in a nice Christian way. You don't always feel that good, but it's not based on feelings, it's based on facts. It's about what God has done through Jesus. It's secured by His resurrection. It's ours by right. And we need to keep our relationship with the world in check. Some Christians cut themselves right off from the world, but others throw themselves into it. But there's a balance here. We have to be in the world, not of it. Our future is in glory. We don't belong here. We're pilgrims and strangers. That's how Paul addresses the Christians that he writes to. Pilgrims, aliens, and exiles. We're passing through this world. And let's keep focus on what's to come, not what has passed. Now, this has been a very kind of personal application for me as I've meditated on it. It's 2023, is that right? That's the year we're in. Yeah. I think that's the year we're in. I don't know what date we're in sometimes, but it's 2023. 10 years ago, I had this awful year. It was, you call it an as horribleness, that the Queen said, but it really was an absolutely terrible year. And in the end, I kind of had, kind of a bit of a breakdown by the end of it. That went into the next year. Absolutely terrible. But I'm one of these people who rakes over the past. And I'm one of these people who say, well, you know, this time last week we were doing so-and-so. And so I started to say, this time 10 years. And to be sure I knew what day would happen, I started trawling through old emails. It's amazing, you know, you can delete emails, but you can still find them. There's always a thread there somewhere on the internet. I've deleted all the emails, but actually if you just put a name in, you find there's a copy in someone else's email. So I actually sort of worked out the timeline. I thought, those people were doing that at that time. Then we had that meeting then, and then they kicked up then. I was meditating on these verses about hope, and it struck me, stop living in the past. Live in the hope of the future, and let it touch the present now. And actually it applies, you know, to relationships right now as well, because Peter said that even the new creation will not spoil. And as I said earlier, that's about things being spoiled by sin. And actually it's our sin often that spoils relationships. Even though someone might, you know, be at more fault than ourselves, there's still a part that we have to play. But the great thing is that there's a future in which that won't happen. And we can let the light of that shine on the here and now. 1 Corinthians 13 says a lot about that, because it talks about when the perfect comes. It's like, actually, come on, live in light of that perfect and show love. So, you know, I would really encourage you, if you're looking back in the past and trawling things and remember things that people have done to hurt you, particularly Christians have done to hurt you, have that hope of the future. Look forward to that time when it won't matter. And pray that you'll be able to have that mentality here and now. There were two Christian leaders many years ago, John Wesley and George Whitfield. They worked together and shared the good news of Jesus, but they had a massive fallout. You know, they fell out big time. And someone tried to stir up a bit of trouble. And he said to George Whitfield, he said, "Mr. Whitfield, do you think you'll see Mr. Wesley in heaven?" And Whitfield was a wise old bird, and he knew what was going on. He said, no, I won't." And they said, "Really? Ooh, you know, probably a journalist or something." He said, "Why not?" He said, "Because Mr. Wesley will be nearer the throne than I am." And that was great, wasn't it? He was living in the light of heaven. Let's start this year living in the light of heaven. Don't rake over those things of the past. Live in that hope. So the news doesn't give us too much to cheer us for 2023. But we have a different outlook because God has given us a living hope. So let's praise God. Take stock. Have faith. And live it out. Let's pray. Oh God of Jesus, I do pray for anyone here who's struggling with doom and gloom, or struggling maybe with hurt. I pray that they would know that living hope. That we know it's certain because Jesus has been raised from the dead.